Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
There's the snap. Oh, it was almost blocked, and it was! It was blocked! The punt was blocked by Dallas. The ball bouncing to the 45. Recovered at the 46. Dallas has got it. No, Cincinnati recovered. Cincinnati recovered.
They're saying a cowboy down the field hit the football.
Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, trying to sift through what was a wild play at the end of the game. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Thank you, Westwood One. It was inside the two-minute warning where all of a sudden you're thinking the Cowboys have a shot. They block a punt, but it goes in beyond the line of scrimmage, Perloff, which means now it's just a regular old punt. So if the team, the receiving team, touches it, that means it's a live ball. It was juggled a little bit. Cincinnati Bengals come away with it. Cincinnati Bengals score a few plays later on a beautiful Ja'Marr Chase touchdown from Joe Burrow, and it's a win for the Bengals.
Yeah, the whole game I'm watching this, I'm like, are the Bengals actually going to blow this game? I mean, they had a... They moved the ball at will in the first half. They just had one bad pick. I don't know how they made that such a close game because the Cowboys had no offense except for Rico Dowdle.
Yeah.
Like Cooper Rush couldn't do anything. It was a bizarre game. I credit the Cowboys for even making it that close. If they had recovered that punt and gotten a field goal to go 23-20.
Yeah, they would have been in field goal range, by the way, for Brandon Aubrey, who's actually been one of the best kickers in the league, hands down.
Bengals had three timeouts. Do you think the Bengals would have come down and scored? Because it felt like when Joe Burrow just wanted to turn it on, he could turn it on.
Well, I think the Cowboys, I don't know how many timeouts the Bengals had at that point. Did they have all three?
I think both teams had all three.
Okay, so, you know, obviously you're going to try to get a first down by running the ball.
Nah, they hadn't had a first down in about 9 minutes of game time.
Well, that's when you need your best plays, Mike McCarthy. So if that had happened, obviously you're trying to bleed as much clock as humanly possible.
Right,
get a first down, make the Cincinnati Bengals burn all their timeouts, and then kick the field goal.
Right, but you're not going to pass because you're trying to burn clock. So you're probably not going to get very far. I think it would have been really interesting because I felt like somebody like gives smelling salts to Zach Taylor and tell you have T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and you're throwing about 1,007-yard outs to Yishivash and Gesicki. I thought it was the Bengals just they only scored for most of the second half. They only scored 3 points. They really got they kind of got tongue tied by this Cowboys defense. That Parsons started to really get after Joe Burrow. Burrow had to put a knee brace on.
Yep.
It got kind of an ugly game. And, you know, I totally give credit to Mike McCarthy for keeping them in the game by being so sort of conservative and making an ugly game and getting after Burrow. I think it played out exactly how the Cowboys wanted until that play.
Until the block punt. I gave a little more credit, I think, to Mike Zimmer because they were getting pressure on Burrow. Now, the stat sheet will tell you Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase had another unbelievable outing. 14 receptions on 18 targets for 177 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, Chase is it. T. Higgins, 2 receptions on 5 targets for 23 yards and no touchdowns. So, like, Burrow and Chase are fine. I thought that the Cowboys' defense did play very well. Demarion Overshawn got hurt in the midway through the fourth quarter, and they're saying that might not be good with a knee injury. So you're hurting for that guy because he has so much promise. But I thought the defense showed up, and you mentioned it. Joe Burrow with a brace on his knee.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something that I think is a no-brainer for the Bengals, even though they're probably not going to do it. You should shut Joe Burrow down.
That's
immediately.
It's not a bad idea.
Immediately. You're 5-8. The season has been lost.
Well,
no reason for Joe Burrow to keep going back out there. Regroup, put Jake Browning out, and live to see next season.
Well, you can't do it now because 9-8 could sneak you into the playoffs. You got to wait till you're mathematically out. I don't think you have to wait that long because I think there's a scenario where the Chargers and the Broncos come down to 9-8. And somehow there's a 4-way tie or something. So you got to be mathematically out.
I mean, okay, so you're going to go at Tennessee, which you probably are going to win.
Right, so Cleveland. Then you'll be 6-8, 7-8. Go ahead.
I don't know. I hesitate to give wins just straight up to the Bengals.
Good point. I don't know. All right, squint and you could see it.
Yeah, I mean, they get a little lucky, I guess, with the schedule at Tennessee. Cleveland, although have fun with Myles Garrett. Denver. And
right,
then
so they can knock out Denver. It's not impossible.
Dude.
I think you have a little problem with the Chargers, but, and then Pittsburgh, week 18, hope that Pittsburgh is resting. And by the way, I mean, the Bengals can easily beat the Steelers. There's no doubt about that.
I don't know. I think the Steelers are putting a little not with the Ravens. The Ravens are still really good, but I think it's the Steelers and the Ravens division. And everyone else is just floundering until the end of the year.
But there's no way, that division, you would never count out the Bengals against the Ravens or the Steelers. That'd be crazy. Like, they're definitely going to play to the last second, and it's going to be a close game. But that's same with Cleveland. All those teams kill each other.
EJ, can we put a poll up on the Dallas side of this? Was last night the nail in the coffin, so to speak, for Mike McCarthy? There was a possibility that Dallas could have caught a wave here of momentum. They were coming off 2 wins, the win against the Commanders, the win against the Giants, and could have rode this thing maybe to the end of the season. Maybe you have an outside chance of getting that last wild card. After last night, though, and just how devastated the Cowboys were in the locker room, Micah Parsons is just beside himself, saying this feels worse than a playoff loss. I mean, everyone took it really hard last night for Dallas, and now it's just a long goodbye.
Maybe a little performative by Mr. Podcaster Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons knows where the cameras are. I don't know. I just felt like Micah was overacting a little bit on the block punt. Like, dude, you're on the Cowboys. You stink this year. Like, he was acting like they just lost the Super Bowl.
Well, he said that as much. Here's Micah Parsons, has no words for the loss.
You can't even put that in words, bro, to be honest.
All right, more from Micah Parsons, says this loss was worse than a playoff loss.
This one hurt me more than any loss this year. Probably even worse than a playoff loss, to be honest. Because where we were going, how we were playing, playing good football.
Yeah, I mean, come on. All right.
I mean, he is right. They are definitely that. Now that defense is healthy, he's we're awesome. Why can't the rest of the team catch up to us?
That's a ridiculous statement from him.
I mean, the season is
off the rails.
You don't have a quarterback right now.
But he did say last week, we're an awesome unit. We're going to carry this team to the playoffs. He was pretty specific about it. And
why Joe Burrow throw for 300 and whatever yards?
I mean, that's first of all, because Cooper Rush was so ineffective. The fact that they kept the Bengals in check was pretty good. I mean, how many times? Is this one of the Bengals' worst offensive performances in a while? Don't the Bengals score 38 points every week?
To be fair, though, to Cooper Rush, who I did not think played well last night. I thought Mike McCarthy put too much on Cooper Rush, quite frankly. But they did have 2 drives in the second half when this is an extremely tight game. One that went for 8 plays and four 4.5 minutes, and another went for 13 plays in about 7 minutes. So they were trying to eat some clock with some long drives, and then all of a sudden it just dried up. It was just over.
I just feel like if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, and you live through what happened against the Packers, and you live through what happened against the Niners twice, and you live through these playoff losses where that guy's been on the field, and he tells you a week 13 game where your team is 3 games below 500, that this was worse than those playoff blowouts, some of them at home, I'd be like, this guy needs his head examined.
Yeah.
Now, I would take some ownership in that. Okay, the fact this guy's playing this hard, the fact that this season's over, I would take something in that. I don't think that's nothing. I think he deserved credit for that.
He played like a beast.
Yeah, he was awesome. But, like, come on, dude. Like, those fans lived and died with those losses. Are you saying this, like, random game that nobody cares about is worse than a playoff loss? Give me a break.
Well, because the other part, too, where it kind of falls a little bit short is it kind of feels like he was saying, like, I'll lead you. Dak's hurt. Here I am. I'm going to lead everybody. And while that's admirable to do, it's like, oh, because you came up short this time and Dak Prescott isn't there to take all the blame, now this is worse or something like that.
It looks like this game meant more to him than those games, because I watched those playoff games where they were getting run over and he was a non-factor. This game, he was definitely a factor. He almost single-handedly took Joe Burrow out of the game. I don't know. I think about him as a leader and thinking about him as being the guy leading the troops. I'm like, okay, good luck, Dallas. That's your voice of the team.
Well, also, he's been criticized for being too light after losses, so I think that was part of this.
Mm. Oh, you think he was overcompensating?
I totally do. I think he's been, people are like, also too, he like openly roots for the Eagles on his podcast, which is so funny. I mean, he's obsessed with Philly. I love that about him. But I think that people think he's too light. He's too like joking around. It's like, why, you know, your team's in the middle of the playoff hunt. Why are you spending so much energy being a personality? But that's just who he is. He's been a talker since his Penn State days. Like, you got, yeah, I mean, I think this is good. This is the Micah Parsons you want to see, because I don't think everyone takes him totally seriously, right? I mean, like, you know how TJ Watt looks like he wants to murder your grandmother every play?
Yeah.
I don't feel like Micah Parsons has that vibe.
But he plays so well, and he's, you know, so effective that obviously, you know, you take, like, of course he'll be a big personality, but at times it can wear thin for sure. But Micah Parsons, we know, isn't going anywhere. No matter how much Perloff thinks that there's some fantasy where Micah Parsons is going to say, I want to come to the Eagles. It's not happening.
He'll definitely be an Eagle at some point. Okay. I'm positive, but it'll probably be after he's washed up. But go ahead.
Okay, well, good luck with all that.
It was like a Von Miller signing.
Yes, and that one has been particularly painful for me, so thanks for bringing it up. But Mike McCarthy's future in Dallas is obviously way murkier. Now, here is Jerry Jones. Manny, can I hear cut 15, please? Here is Jerry Jones asked about Mike McCarthy after the game.
Mike is an outstanding coach. He has an outstanding record. He's got great experience. A lot of what he's about, some of the benefits that we're having out there, we're gaining from the type coach that he is.
See, this is, if I'm a Cowboy fan, I feel gaslit by Jerry. Because if he's this great coach, and you respect him, and you should, and he's a Super Bowl winner, and all that, Perloff, then why is he coaching without a contract for next year? You love him so much, you're not sure whether you want him after this season. That's the whole part of this. It's like, you can say a million nice things about Mike McCarthy, but your actions speak way louder than words here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Cowboys fan, and I'm going to put myself in the shoes of a Cowboy fan, is more worried that Jerry's going to bring him back. Forget like the gaslighting or the messaging. Like, I think you're a Cowboy fan. I mean, have we ever had a Cowboy fan call in and say, man, I hope they build around Mike McCarthy? They all want him gone. So isn't that your biggest fear?
Yeah, but I wonder if Dak Prescott saying he wants him back, and everyone in the, you know, you mentioned Troy Aikman last night, really putting it on for Mike McCarthy, does that sway a Cowboy fan? You think, hey, listen, these guys have seen mediocre coaching with Jason Garrett. Dak was there with Jason Garrett. He knows what this is like. Troy Aikman, certainly, I mean, maybe he's just doing the company line thing, but I don't think so. I think they legitimately think Mike McCarthy's a good offensive coach.
They kept Jason Garrett for a decade, Maggie. Like that, I'm sorry, like, why are we overthinking it? It's history repeating itself.
Well, here's another question. You asked this earlier, and I don't have an answer for you, which is, who could be the next head coach? If they do get rid of Mike McCarthy, if Bill Belichick, A, is not an actual candidate because he would be too, he would overshadow Jerry or what have you, and it looks like Belichick is kind of serious about this North Carolina thing, When are we going to believe this, or is this just Belichick trying to get some interest and maybe get some teams to move with a little more urgency on the NFL side? Give him a call.
Yeah, it's week 14, though, and there are a lot of, you really can't, or I don't, except for, unless you fire your coach, can you really give him a call and negotiate right now?
You can back channel.
I want him, honestly, the team that I think that would be the best fit for him, who's most ready for Jerry Jones, is the Dallas Cowboys, and I just don't think that's going to happen.
For Belichick.
Yeah, for Belichick. Oh, sorry, right. Because I think Jerry Jones is like, this is a team. Bill Belichick, think of his options, like North Carolina. Like, what are you going to achieve there? What's the point of that? Unless you're going to win a national title, and that seems like a very tall task. You have to go back to the NFL. You have to get the wins record, and you have to go to a team that has a lot of talent that could win something. You can't go to the Jags. So I just think that this is all insanity for Bill Belichick. Like, North Carolina? How? Why?
I know. We'll get more into that because I just don't think that Jerry is not going to be like, I don't think he's going to be sped up on this decision. I don't think he's going to be, you know, forced into making, you know, forced into anyone else's timeline. He doesn't do that.
But the longer you wait, the more likely they'll bring back McCarthy. Like, he'll just, the longer you settle in, it'll get farther away from the losses. There are excuses. I mean, the injuries are excuses. You can't ignore that. I mean, Dak's not there.
Yeah, but what about the playoff losses? Where were the injuries then?
Well, actually, it's probably their best advantages. They're not going to get blown out in the playoffs this year. That what? Might be Mike McCarthy's out.
Because they're not going to be in the playoffs. What?
Yeah, kind of like SMU almost got kicked out of the 12-team playoff because they went into the conference title game. Yeah, I think this is like, I've got to tell you, Mike McCarthy's not going to blow in the playoffs this year. I mean, if they'd won last night, then he probably would have, but...
Brilliant strategy. You can't blow it in the playoffs if you don't make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows how that works.
Wow. I didn't think about that. Diabolical. 855-212-4227. We will get to the Niners drama, one of the close rivals of the Cowboys, dealing with their own situation. And same with the Eagles. Dallas, this could have been the year. You could have taken advantage of some other teams actually having these, like, really bizarre situations this late into the season. Two wide receivers, both disgruntled, both after wins. If you want a little snippet of how things are going for the 49ers and the Eagles, we'll get to all that next. M&P.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. I mentioned it yesterday. It's got to be Vikings cornerback / safety Byron Murphy for that one-handed interception.
Ooh.
That was amazing.
That jumped out when I actually saw the play. I'm like, EJ's going to go with that as the defensive player of the week. There are a lot of big defensive efforts. Do you have a nomination?
I was trying to think if EJ would have gone to the college football playoff championship weekend. Am I close, or did you pick NFL? No?
I mean, you got to guess a player. It can't just be... Did you pick a player within three games that were played on Saturday? I mean, come on, that narrows it down a little bit.
Someone from Arizona State. I don't know. Yeah. I don't have anyone this week.
All right, so this week's Defensive Player of the Week is Michael Williams.
You know,
from
I knew you were going to go Michael Williams. Was he that good though?
I mean, what do you mean?
He's definitely undersized. There were a couple players I was watching because he's obviously such a big draft prospect. I'm not so sold on that guy.
I love how Perloff was ready to, like, already argue the pick before it was even made.
I knew you were going
to pick the guy because he has the numbers and he played well and Texas offense was completely shut down.
Yeah.
But I'm going to already argue the pick. I mean, only Perloff.
No, I think Perloff already I bet if we got a clear look at Perloff's drafts of the tweets that he has not sent, yeah. I bet one of them is he really good?
Well, first of all, I'm kind of obsessed with the two ends on Georgia. They're amazing, but the difference is that they don't have five pros behind them, so eventually they wear down. Like, I don't trust Georgia. I know they played well in this game, but, like, do you really trust Michael Williams, or what's the other guy's name?
Jaylen Walker.
Jaylen Walker, yeah. Like, why are they consistently awesome? Explain that to me, EJ.
I think some of it is their run defense isn't that great. You mentioned the secondary, but I actually think some of it is actually the run defense. People being able to run on Georgia. We saw Haynes King run on Georgia. We've seen Jalen Milroe.
That's really what I was going to do. It was the Haynes King. So you have two top 15 picks on your defensive line, and you get blasted by Georgia Tech.
Well, these guys are just flying up the field. I mean, these guys are just like, they're like Ferraris coming off the edge. Like, they're not even trying to, like, stop the run. And maybe that's a Kirby Smart issue, really not necessarily a these guys' issue. But in this game where you know Quinn Ewers is a statue, he was in a lot of trouble. They had six sacks in this game, and Michael had two. So, therefore, he's the defensive player of the week. Also one of my favorite players in college football. So
awesome. But by the way, you also get to be like, I think a lot of people watch that game and be like, wow, is Texas any good? Like, does anybody believe in Quinn Ewers in Texas?
Listen, you could have been making a case for Texas that you made for a lot of other teams, or criticisms, rather, of who do they beat? And I know it's the SEC, so no one will say that, but really their best win is against A&M, and A&M's not, I don't even think A&M finished ranked, did they? Maybe they did, but it's A&M, the air kind of went out of A&M.
Yeah, I think that people are worried and people are wondering. I heard a lot of, where is Arch? Like, Ewers does not look good right now. You might as well have Arch running the ball. I know you mentioned yesterday, it was a good point. Let's not get Arch blown up all the time, but still, he is... He's a college quarterback. Quinn Ewers plays like a backup pocket quarterback. He looked like Cooper Rush. Like, he's not doing anything. He's not moving. It's going to make Texas very vulnerable in every game in this playoff.
We had to pick an upset yesterday of the first four games, and mine is Clemson going to Austin and upsetting Texas. I think they're vulnerable right now.
I think this is one of the worst matchups Texas could have got, because if there's anything Clemson can do, it is rush the passer, and their defensive line is tough. I mean, they were giving Jennings hell for those first few drives before he kind of settled in.
Yep.
If Texas, typically they've protected Ewers very well, except against Georgia. That's any team that can kind of replicate some of what Georgia does, is probably Clemson of these teams that are playing in this first round.
Listen, there's also a case that maybe Georgia just really has Texas's number.
Could
because
be.
They've looked just particularly vulnerable against that team. But I think you guys are not talking about the biggest story. And I know he hasn't had the season anyone thought he would, but the Carson Beck injury is massive. I think Gunnar Stockton is probably good enough to win this first round. Well, they have a bye. But
massive in a positive or a negative way for Georgia?
I don't know.
I mean, come on. Carson Beck had 55 yards at half.
Listen, I was saying, why didn't we see Gunnar Stockton a month and a half ago? I get it, but... There's some interesting headlines coming up that he's trying to figure out. Beck, that is trying to figure out treatment options because his elbow is so messed up. And to be honest, as far as his future is concerned, a bad elbow or a potential future elbow surgery for a quarterback just knock another round off of his draft.
No one trusts Carson Beck.
No.
Nobody does. So this is, I don't think that's the major story. I think Arch looming over Quinn Ewers is a big part of this. I think you mentioned yesterday Oregon's tough draw is a big part of this.
Yep.
I'm not hearing a lot about, well, is Carson Beck healthy? You know, it's weird.
Well, you're talking about Georgia, so I brought it up their quarterback.
Oh, No. I'm actually saying, like, it's a story that it's not a bigger story. Like, I just think, like, Georgia is really the second favorite in this whole field. Like, their side of the bracket is easy. Georgia should go all the way through. But at the end of the day, either Carson Beck's going to be hurt or we don't trust Carson Beck. Otherwise, they have a very easy path here. That half of the bracket, it's not tough, Maggie. I mean, you're scared of James Franklin and Penn State?
No. Speaking of which, though, we will have Paul Posluszny scheduled to join the show a little later on. Talk about linebacker U, Penn State great, two-time All-American, getting into the National Football Foundation's Hall of Fame this weekend.
Oh, that's nice.
There you go. He's and already in the college football.
Happens. What was one of his NFL teams?
Oh, he's a Buffalo Bills draft pick.
Yeah, so let's not pretend. Let's not, like, tease the Penn State part. Why is he really on the show?
That's why he's coming on the show. But, no, do you want to talk about the Bills from that era? I wouldn't even bring it up to him. I wouldn't. It's so dark. Those are some of the worst teams. Not him. He was great. But those were some of the worst teams ever fielded, like, by professional franchises.
Yeah, wait, I saw many 51 jerseys over the weekend.
Oh, I'm sure, man. He was in Buffalo this weekend. Nothing but love for Paul Posluszny. He tried. What's he going to do? He can't stop. It's 1-on-11.
Wait, so he wasn't there for Rob Johnson, Doug Flutie? I have no idea what year it
is. No, he's my age.
What year was that, like 2001?
That was 2000.
I don't think Paul Posluszny was at Penn State when Rob Johnson was playing quarterback for
Penn State. 2000 was the Music City
Miracle.
He
played sometime in the 2000s, right?
Rob might have still kept playing, but not for the Bills. 2000 was the Music City Miracle. Now we're just going back through Bill's bad history. And to be honest, it got way worse from there.
What was Bruce Smith like?
And unfortunately, Paul Posluszny was there for it.
I was that far off of Paul Posluszny?
Paul Posluszny played, he was drafted by the Bills in 07.
Wow.
Oh. And what year did Doug, so he missed them by like 2 years, right?
No, like, by like 8 years.
When did Rob Johnson finally leave there?
It was like 8 years.
It was like, at least five or six. I mean, Dick Geron was the head coach. Imagine going from Joe Paterno, who I know's legacy is very different now, obviously, but Joe Paterno, one of the longest tenured, winningest, you know, stable, then you go to the Bills. Just, here's Dick Geron for you.
When he told me that Dick Geron was coaching the Bills and that he got a second chance, I was like, oh, Maggie, I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's not even the worst of it.
You deserve Josh Allen just for dealing with a second tenure of Dick Geron. Right. That's crazy.
Wait, sorry. Again, I feel like, what was so, Dick Geron was not a great coach, but he wasn't like a laughingstock, was he?
No, but that's the whole thing. It was just middling coach after middling coach after middling coach. Like, if you want to talk Dallas Cowboy fans, why do you want to talk about Chan Gailey? And that was a bright spot because he beat Belichick once.
I mean, once. Dick Geron has a 42% win percentage.
Right.
And that was with a 13-win season 1 year. Right, one unicorn year he had the Bears. He won 13 games.
Yeah, but I don't like, oh my God, like Dick Geron, it's not Urban Meyer with the Jags. So
well,
just so
okay, but that can't be the bar here. He's just bad.
He was also there for 4 years.
Dick Geron to Chan Gailey to Doug Marrone, Mike Mularkey. It was bad.
That's a rough stretch.
Sorry, that was down in the Jacksonville. I was looking at Paul's, doing research for Paul, all of the coaches he played for. Rough.
That's rough. I'm sorry. Again, you deserve Josh Allen for that.
Yeah, I feel like, but that was, like, Doug Marrone was okay, right? Wasn't he? These are all, like,
Doug
okay.
Doug Marrone quit on the Bills on New Year's Eve because he had some handshake deal to go coach the freaking Jets, and it fell apart because of, like, Manish Mehta. Now we're going into some deep cuts here. You guys are really opening up a scab. Like, dude, please don't. I don't want to do this today. I'm excited that Paul's coming on the show with us later.
Doug Marrone, two winning seasons. Not bad.
38% win percentage.
Yeah, he was...
And what is he most known for? Taking the Jags to the conference championship game, having a lead on Belichick, and they blew it.
15-17 is a Bills
score. Don't even play it, man. Stop it. It's already bad enough that I got to... Now Sean McDermott, who is the best coach since Marv Levy to coach the Bills, but cannot coach his way out of a paper bag if there's inside 2 minutes.
Maybe trying to get him out of here.
And I will continue to say that. And again, they keep going down the path with Belichick in North Carolina, and I'm getting very nervous that the Bills are going to blow their shot of getting Belichick because I think he's the only person who can clean up this stuff at the end of games and not waste more Josh Allen amazing outings.
The Bills losing out on Bill Belichick to North Carolina football would be hilarious.
Listen, they're not like looking now. It'd be very monumental for them to move on from McDermott. But you've got some major evidence, another data point in LA last.
Yeah, I was going to say, are they even considering Bill Belichick?
I don't. They should be because there's no other coach that we know of that is good at end of game situations like Belichick.
So that was Belichick. Again, and we talked about this last night. Belichick was a great end-of-game coach. I mean, he had the Malcolm Butler play, but he also blew some.
I mean, his defense used to close out quarterbacks all the time.
Yeah, Brady. I mean,
I'm talking about on defense. I tried to take out, I know the Brady drive. I'm not going to necessarily give him credit for that. I think that's fair. But I was talking about their defense. As a Jet fan, and I'm sure Maggie's Bills, she can talk about a bunch of games. Like, his defense closed the show on a lot of teams.
I just think Andy Reid still to this day has no idea what's going on in the last 2 minutes. And when you have Mahomes, you win all those close games.
I know,
games.
But that's just because Andy Reid's blood sugar is low.
Yeah.
By the end of the game, he needs nuggies.
Even last week, he was looking around as the clock was winding down. He was like, I'm not really quite sure what to do here. But, I don't know if Belichick's your answer. Because you have a great offense with Joe Brady right now. Like, you just have to sort of get a few more dudes on defense.
Here's the thing. The offense was good with Dable. The offense wasn't actually terrible with Ken Dorsey. He just had to get up and out of there because he's not a good play caller. And the offense is good with Joe Brady. What's the one thing they all have in common? Josh Allen. The offense is going to be fine.
But they're controlling the ball now, though.
Yeah.
They're not turning it over. Like they're really setting everything up for success. It can't stop the run at all.
The offense, I'm actually not worried about. They've got the blueprint here. And that's more about the general manager putting the right guys on the team, to me, and not getting away from the run. It's an easy assignment.
By the way, Andrew Kaplan says Bill Belichick didn't do so well in Miami during the Gronk play. Remember when he left Gronk on defense?
Yeah, okay. But
I don't know.
Belichick's got 40 years in this thing,
guys. Did you see the last year of the Patriots? Like, every game situation that could be a disaster was a disaster. He's 72 years old. I don't know that he still has his end-of-game fastball, Maggie.
Okay, but Kyle Shanahan, okay?
Terrible at end-of-games.
Okay, and but great coach. Mike Vrabel, I don't know if we have a thought on him either way about this. These are hard to come by for this, and now we're just talking about the Bills, but this specific thing that they're dealing with, which is Sean McDermott getting tight at the end of games, there's not an easy answer for who's out there as far as strategists who can help you here. So, yeah, the pool's going to be shallow because I don't know if Ben Johnson has any clue what, you know, about end-of-game stuff.
There's no way they're hiring
Cliff
Ben
Kingsbury.
Johnson.
Like, what are we talking about in terms of this coaching cycle?
You're 10-3. You're not firing your coach.
But it's a pattern. It's a pattern of end-of-game situations.
Yeah, I know. But even last year, like, when things were not going well, you were right there with the Chiefs at the end of a game, too. Just like, they weren't even great last year, and McDermott carried them, I think, towards the end. Into the playoffs.
We're talking about Kyle Shanahan, and there's an idea that maybe things could be coming to an end or something in San Francisco. It's the same thing. You've got a team that's close, and you keep losing in these terrible ways, and you can point to the coach making bad decisions to put your team in a bad spot. It's just the reality of what is going on when the bar is this high. So that's it.
Yeah, I feel like you're going to take a major step back if you get rid of McDermott for the wrong guy. Like, especially Belichick. That's a big risk.
Scared money don't make money.
A big risk, Maggie.
Can't just be scared of the outcome if you actually feel like your general manager understands the mission and has a good beat on some of the candidates. Bogish is here with headlines for us on this very busy Tuesday.
These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance.
Hey, boys.
Amani Oruwariye is the cowboy that touched the block punt late on Monday Night Football. Had he just left it alone, it would have been Dallas's ball with under 2 minutes to go with a chance to win the game, but he tried to corral the bouncer. It went off his arm. The Bengals recovered, then scored the winning points 50 seconds later on Jamar Chase's second TD catch of the night. Jordan Lewis, one of the Cowboys who shielded Oruwariye from the media postgame.
We just can't, like, just support him because none of us played a perfect game, honestly. And, you know, we can't judge anybody by one decision. He thought he could make a play, and can't blame him from that. You know, all we can do is learn from it and support him as a teammate.
Now, before and after the special teams gaffe, the Cowboys could not contain Chase. 14 catches, 177 yards, and 2 scores on 18 targets. They also made questionable play calls that led to that punt. And now Mike McCarthy's team is 5-8.
Just do the math. You know, obviously, you know, we're not even back to even. You know, we're still in a hole. We need a tremendous amount of help, is, you know, just being Captain Obvious here. So, I mean, it's just one of the things we had to have this one.
And they didn't get it. Again, the Bengals, meanwhile, improved to 5-8 by snapping a 3-game skid. I'm assuming they're doing this for our entertainment. The Browns will continue starting Jameis Winston, even though their season is lost. They could audition 2023 fifth-round pick Dorian Thompson-Robinson, but Kevin Stefanski said yesterday the goal remains winning as much as possible.
But victory comes from the Lord.
You guys just mentioned this. Georgia QB Carson Beck injured his right elbow in Saturday's SEC title game. There is no timetable yet for his return as he explores treatment options. If there's only one game in the league and you do this, are you the best player in the league?
Six to shoot. Towns, left wing three. Got it! Karl Anthony Towns with the dagger. 6.3 to go. He puts the Knicks up 113-108 and then sticks the New York on the front of his jersey out to the Toronto crowd who's heading for the exits.
The Mets just signed Karl Anthony Towns.
Is that Monica laughing?
Oh, that's not Manny? That wasn't a live giggle at the end?
He stopped off in Toronto before he came to Buffalo. Came from Buffalo.
Orlando. Yeah, why didn't you stay there for a Knicks game, dude?
Passport was expired.
Karl Anthony Towns, 24 points, 15 rebounds, 6 assists in New York's 113-108 win in Toronto. The Knicks have won 5 of their last 6.
Damn right.
Men's college hoops, Tennessee's number one in the new AP poll since Kansas lost twice last week. The Jayhawks now 10th. Those Vols last number one during the 18-19 campaign. Meanwhile, third-ranked Iowa State has its highest ranking since the late 50s. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts said yesterday it's highly unlikely Shohei Ohtani pitches when they open their season in Japan in March. And we got a hockey trade yesterday. The Avalanche need a goalie, so they get Mackenzie Blackwood from the Sharks for struggling goalie Alexander Georgiev, a player and two draft picks.
Totally called that one. You got to go Blackwood.
You knew that.
Yes.
Yeah, you were on that.
Mac, big Mac.
There you go.
Wasn't Mackenzie Blackwood a Ranger?
He was a Devil, I think.
Ah, all right.
It's a great name.
You don't like Alexander Georgiev?
Mackenzie Blackwood could be a football player. That's a like SEC
a country singer.
Yeah,
I could see that. Have his own brand of whiskeys or something.
Sounds like a corporate made up name for a whiskey, right?
Like AI made up a whiskey name. I saw a great tweet from someone yesterday, a comedian talking about what to buy gifts for men this time of year. Hold on. Filibuster for me for
hey,
one
by
second.
Way, that Ohio State is the highest ranked Ohio State's been
no,
since.
No, Iowa State.
Oh, Iowa State.
Iowa State.
Okay.
I thought you said Ohio State.
Great filibuster.
Fact check you there.
This is the from our pal Ian Carmel, the comic and big, big celebrity, writes for late night shows and big Portland guy, said every gift guide for men is like a flannel flask to hold your knife flavored whiskey. It is so hard sometimes to buy gifts for men. It really is.
Because you guys are easy?
Yeah, man. What?
Yes, because we talked about this when Perloff was going through this with his wife for, what was it, your anniversary?
Yeah, I think Maggie's right on this one.
Massages, it's like it's always
earrings.
Your default go-to.
You said no to 47 suggestions.
But they were all good suggestions. Like, you guys really came up with great ones. That's just Perloff being, like, indecisive. But you had all these great ones. You guys are hard to buy for.
Gift card, gift cards.
Clothes, like, do you really want clothes?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Maybe something from the NBA
But I want to pick out my own. Like, you don't want somebody else picking out your clothes.
No, listen, I've been with my wife since, like, 2000. So we're talking about birthdays, Valentine's Day, anniversaries,
this is back
Christmases.
To the Rob Johnson era.
Like, I've used all of these ideas.
Yeah.
Right, and she refuses to like I would love to just give her a list of six things. Like, get me four of them, and I'm happy.
Like, what do you want? I'm actually curious. My people ask me what I want for Christmas. I have no idea.
Yeah, what do you buy? What do you want? Because I never know what to buy for my husband.
Yeah, I want some. I'm big into loungewear now. I need some joggers. I got a couple of hoodies.
Yeah,
I got
joggers,
my eye on.
I like a nice pair of joggers. It'll cost you $120.
Well, that's the other part.
Wait, are you talking about like athleisure?
I don't want to, am I allowed to name brands? Like, I want some Vuori stuff, but it's too expensive. So I was like, maybe Santa will bring it. But even Santa's like, this is too expensive.
Santa's like, screw you and your list.
Even Santa's got a budget.
Wait, but you're literally wearing a hoodie today. You want another hoodie?
I want more, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, but
everyone's wearing a hoodie today.
Not me.
Not EJ.
I'm no sleeves guy. Braving the cold elements.
I have my family buy me Runner's Warehouse gift cards, so because running shoes are so darn expensive these days.
I know, but
I want to knock that expense out.
I know, and I like gift cards, but there's a lot of people who think gift cards are a grift, you know?
Right,
and people
they totally
lose
are.
Them and
right.
stuff like that.
But you don't spend all
of
it.
Wait, you give a gift card to your partner?
Is I love them.
Okay.
My wife doesn't, by the way, doesn't even get me anything for the holidays. Because we have the same bank account. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, well, we've had that conversation too.
Yeah, yeah. Like, at this point, when you've married long enough, like, gifts, like, because if she bought me something, I'll be like, well, nah, I'm going to have to find that money to pay for it now.
So I've run into the issue with my fiance because her birthday's tomorrow. So I usually like to do experiences.
Yeah.
But what happens if she's busy literally every day? Like, this has been a back and forth thing now for like a week. Where I'm like, hey, what are you doing this day? Oh, I'm meeting friends. Hey, what are you doing this way? Oh, I'm teaching yoga. Oh, well, I got a yoga workshop. And now it's become like a thing where she's like, can you just tell me what you want to do?
Okay.
And therefore,
EJ,
I can do it. I'm like, no, I want to surprise you with an experience.
But Nick's
you
fantasy
you
camp.
You got to tell me, give me a day.
A trip to Toronto to watch RJ Barrett. Here's
Milwaukee in January.
Telling you, that's going to come soon if she can't figure this out.
I'm going to give you a life hack here that you can have way earlier than I had, and I wish I'd had it sooner.
Taking notes.
It's a very 2024 type of thing, but I'm assuming Perloff has it, and I would bet that Bogish has this too.
Only three weeks left to cash in.
No, this is not about a gift. You got to get a shared calendar.
Yeah.
Well, that's
gotta happen, dude. And it will happen once if you guys go down the road of having kids and stuff like that. But just because you can't keep track of literally every birthday party and every swim lesson and all that stuff, you gotta get a shared calendar.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who said the romance is dead in the Gray household, why don't you share your Google calendar? That's hot.
That hit too home. I, we may or may not have had our last fight over Google calendars and whether or not I should be on one.
I'm telling you, dude, save yourself and get on.
Do you know what guys are not on Google Calendars? Like 70% of us do. Like that is not like how the email brain works.
It's not working.
Oh, my husband loves the Google Calendar. It was basically
your husband's an engineer.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, he's the left brain of this.
Well, I need to know what's happening in 15 minutes. Anything like farther out than that, I just zone out on.
Mm.
Yeah, we have one. I don't put things on it, so I get yelled at for that. When I'm like, oh, I have a game tonight, or I've got a something, and she's like, we have a calendar for this. Do we?
Oh my God.
Yeah, since like 2017.
Yeah, men are not good at that kind of stuff.
No, like I'm looking at it right now and 98% of the December entries are not from me.
My fiance has no, like she literally, I do not know why you cannot just put things in a calendar. And I'm like,
it makes your life easier. And you'd have her day that you know when she's got a free evening.
So she can be Othella Harrington.
I actually thought about taking her to Othello, but that's like next year.
Can I also say something? This is going to sound a little mean, but she likes experiences, so you get something out of her presence too, it sounds like. Sounds like the present is half for EJ, half for the fiance.
I took her to Mean Girls. I took her to...
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not something I would do.
But you should.
I'm glad I did. It was awesome. Yeah. But like, I took her to a Britney Spears Broadway show. Like,
oh, okay.
I mean, these are not like, this is not...
It's not Iron Man.
It's not seeing Othello Harrington as... which I would definitely
Beating
choose.
Othello Harrington.
Or Al Harrington. Shoot, I mean, let's just run him down.
Any Harrington.
Al Harrington, he's probably walking around this neighborhood. All right, well, can we put that as a poll? Do you have a shared Google calendar with your partner? 855-212-422, your spouse? Should be more, partner, spouse, whatever.
That's the opposite of romance.
Listen, sometimes it's not about romance. It's about, did you get to Taekwondo in time?
Yeah, well, if that's on your calendar, then I'm
free
down.
Tuesday, 4:30. What are your thoughts?
Ooh, afternoon delay. 855-212-4227. All right, lots more to do. Drama, more drama with wide receivers coast to coast.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get to that next. How do I explain this to the audience who might just be joining us? Welcome to the show. Manny is playing the song Afternoon Delight because we just had a robust conversation about whether or not you have a shared calendar with your partner. Then ask, well, what exactly do you schedule on that shared calendar? Is it everything?
That was
block out time.
Bogus is question, right?
First of all, how would you label that? And secondly, how much time are you blocking off?
Yeah, I was kind of claiming that once you decide to share your Google Calendar as a family, the romance is dead.
I disagree.
I mean, listen, when you were dating your husband, it's like, man, I just look into his eyes and say, someday we're going to share a calendar together. And we're gonna plan who's picking up the car the garage.
Listen, you know as well as I do, the romance being a part of a relationship, and also you intertwine your life with somebody, and if you have kids, it becomes a lot about logistics. That's not a flaw in your marriage or in your relationship. It's just a reality. A lot of it is like, I'm glad I know he's got a lunch today with a friend and is, you know, and... it's like, I got to pick up Lucas. Okay. So I need to know these things.
The fact that we're talking about scheduling intimacy, this does seem like a flaw to me.
I didn't say we do that.
Well, I said we are. Yeah. I'm just saying that it just feels like, yes, you're right. Of course, you know, especially if you have kids, like logistics are important, but I don't know.
We're paying EJ, $55 for a swim lesson. We got
to
get
this there. This started out by EJ talking about he wants to buy a special gift for his fiance for her birthday. And now we're talking about sharing calendars and figure out who's going to drive to the swim lessons. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like this romantic.
Okay, but here's the thing, Pearl. How long you and Sarah been married?
15 years.
Okay, so listen, life sometimes is a little bit more about the X's and O's than about the fairy tale of it. Hopefully you get a little of both.
The Jimmy's and the Joe's.
I was going to say, I don't know where this is going, but it's sometimes about the Tuesday afternoon, not afternoon delight, Manny, but Tuesday afternoon. You know, who's getting the kids soccer practice? That's important, too.
I know. I'm, of course, kidding about this. It is incredibly important. It's almost impossible to figure out. By the way,
you have two kids. This is even more.
I don't know if you saw it. There was a small sense of panic. You probably didn't even notice between 6 and 7 a.m. Eastern with me.
This morning?
Yes, because my wife told me three times, do not take the car to work. I need the car. I'm driving to the Bronx for work.
You did
three
it again.
Times. Three times.
Time.
I wake up this morning, walk down to the garage, get the car, zoom off to work, listening to my music in the car, blah, blah. Something feels a little bit off. No, it's all good. Then I get the text, 5:40 a.m. You left the car, right?
Oh.
Pearl, if you need to hang out after the show, I don't know if you want to go back home immediately. You want to chill, get some lunch or something.
I was going to say, what's the diametrically opposite of the Bronx? Can you get to...
Queens is honestly pretty much that.
I don't have a map in front of me. Might need the route from that guy who escaped the city.
I actually thought I was this bad. It was such a bad transgression. I'm like, oh my gosh. What if Maggie has to do the show for the first 45 minutes by herself if I drive back to Brooklyn?
I would understand it. If you got to leave right now, I got it.
No, she figured it out, fortunately. I was in a pure panic mode, and I really laid on this word. I was like, honey, I'm so sorry. This is 100% my fault. Because it was like the first quarter of the football game. Cooper Rush was throwing out patterns. I wasn't even paying attention. She's like, you have to leave the car. It's very important for working me tomorrow. I'm like, yeah.
You're T. Higgins, the Simpsons,
Charlie Brown brain. Wah, 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 wah.
I have to make sure I've got two men in my life. I've got my husband and I have my son. And if I don't talk to them with directly making eye contact, like I'm staring into their soul tomorrow.
Yeah.
The car. Leave it.
You might want to use that energy with us too.
Yes, same.
Be helpful.
EJ, call that booker right now.
Yeah. I'm staring into your soul. Oh, gosh. All right, Bill Belichick. Wow, this is getting exciting.